All right, Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 33rd verse. We're talking about living a distinctive kingdom life so that other people can see the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 33rd verse. All right. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's read it together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things are everything, you see. Do you know why? Because Jesus was, this was in that dissertation. Let's start. Look at this. Look at Matthew, the 5th chapter. And it started talking about this situation, and seeing the multitude, he went into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So Jesus is talking about the culture, this whole dissertation. Jesus came, one of the things he wanted to do is talk about the culture of people who are in the kingdom of God. And there was a difference. He contrasted the citizens of the kingdom of God and what they think and what's going on in them and what makes them click. He contrasted that with the kingdoms of this world. And that's his teaching. See, you can find out the culture of a citizen of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of God culture, by listening to this representative of the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, telling you the difference between people, the way people had been thinking, and the way people ought to think and carry themselves, and the lifestyle of a person, and the conversation, the way the person handles his life, of a citizen of the kingdom of God. And he talked to them, mainly the Jewish people who was in, they had gotten caught up into making God's covenant with man a religion. It was a covenant. And then they got into making it a religion after the law that was describing sin came. They started to make God's covenant a religious thing. And Jesus had to come and say, y'all repent, change the way you've been thinking now, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said, now you have heard, you have heard. And he said, he was talking about, you have heard in the past, love your neighbor, eye for an eye, and tooth for a tooth. And that's fair, isn't it? It's fair. The laws that are passed down from God, and the people in place to execute laws and send people to jail when they do wrong, that's right. It's not wrong to send people to jail if they break the law. God says that these people are God's ministers. That's why you're supposed to respect authority that's set in place. Because to reject the authorities that are in your life is rejecting what God ordained. So if a cop, if a police, or a judge pass a judgment, they are there to punish people who break the law. The law of the land is ordained by God. So to resist that is resisting the ordinance of God. All authority comes from God. All authority. People who are in your life, who are set as authorities, you're supposed to respect and obey them, because that's the ordinance of God. That's the order of God. I can't say, well, I just want to obey God. No, no. The Bible says in Romans, the 13th chapter, that those people that are in your life that are ordained authority, God ordained that. You're supposed to I would rebel against God, to rebel against authorities that's in my life. Well, I'm going to obey God, but I just, no, no. Authorities that are set in your life are ordained of God. And to resist that authority is resisting the ordinance of God. Amen. Police, you have to let police do their job. And if a judge doing his job, it's his job to punish people for breaking the law. Yeah, they're supposed to. They are God's ministers, just like they execute judgment. Other people execute. I'm a minister of God, and I execute righteousness. But judges, they are ordained of God. If that law is set that way and somebody break that law, they're supposed to be punished. Now, sometimes you can entreat and get them, you have the favor of God, but you can't be mad at folks for doing their job. Amen. But Jesus came and said, now you have heard, and it was right because the law came down and all those people were dead. Nobody was born again anyway. So the law was given for dead people, people who were not born again. And it was right, the Bible says in Romans the 7th chapter, that the law is holy. The law that's talking about sin, it's just, it's good, it came from God. Nothing wrong with the law that's talking about sin, but it was talking to people who were in sin. People who were in the Old Testament, nobody, I'm about to say something, nobody in the Old Testament, all the way from Adam all the way to Jesus, had the Holy Spirit in them. No one from Adam, after Adam died, all the way until we get to Jesus, that's including John the Baptist, nobody had the Holy Spirit in them. Today we're talking about living a distinctive kingdom life. And the reason is that you need to make a difference between you and other people. People need to see a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. So you have to live a distinctive kingdom life, not a religious life. Now, religion ties into that because true religion is for you to bridle your tongue. If you bridle your tongue, your whole life can be controlled. All your conduct is controlled by your tongue. If you can control the words that you speak, your whole life is hooked up to your tongue. You can change the way you feel about people with your tongue. You can change the way your molecules work in your body with your tongue. The molecules and the parts of your body, they are hooked, they try to do what your mouth is saying. Your whole destiny of your life is controlled by your tongue. Amen. A big, big ship, a captain of a ship, is standing in a little box looking where he wants to go. Everybody on the ship is going to go in the direction that that governor of that ship, the captain of that ship, decides to go, because he's the one with the rudder in his hands. That big, big ship is controlled by a little bitty rudder under the water. And if that rudder turns that way, listen to me, and the boat is going that way, the rudder can turn like that, and for a little while, that boat is going to keep going that way. Say, for a little while. But if you turn that thing, even though it's still drifting that way, it's going to start saying, like a tugboat. But it started the process when the rudder turned. Hallelujah. Today, you can start a process by being distinctive in your intentional words. It'll change anything in your life. Amen. But trust the process, because if you respect that, you have the power to change things in your life. Don't be caught up looking for a miracle, because miracles are not promised to you. People who are declared to be righteous must live by faith. And faith is released by words out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Now, say now. If I mix it up with these kinds of words and these kinds of words and these kinds of words and don't respect that principle, then I can't expect to receive anything from God because I'll be a double-minded man. But if I today decide to change things that I want changed, like what? Feelings. I can change my feelings with my words. Hallelujah. You ever forgive somebody and didn't feel like you forgave them? You know what? It's a war against your words. But if you hold your course with those words out of your mouth, something will happen with your feelings. Hallelujah. You can restore feelings where they have been lost. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That's why in the book of Song of Solomons, there was a woman who was married. And she thought that she was not all that pleasing because people have told her all her life parts of her body are not acceptable. You know how it is today with words and images that they put of certain body types. When we saw images and we saw words, they affected our opinion about ourselves. Hallelujah. Amen. But Jesus said, you have heard this. But see, he introducing another whole order. And once you're born into the kingdom of God, now, come on now, bring that order into your life. Because it's possible to be born again and still not adopted the culture of your kingdom. And this scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God, having his influence, have full authority. Listen, and his righteousness. His righteousness. Seek to have that culture of the kingdom come on into your life too. So you can be in the kingdom of God, a citizen of the kingdom of God, and not inherit the kingdom. See, inheriting the kingdom means taking advantage of your sonship. Taking advantage of your citizenship. You can be on the earth like a foreigner from heaven. You want to be on the earth, functioning on the earth as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And that's nobody's business but yours and God. And you can have your cake and eat it too now. Amen. So you bring the culture of the kingdom in. It's not just I got saved, no. No, it's not, I just read my Bible. No, it's thinking the Bible all day long. Thinking in line with your citizenship. Because it works. Your citizenship will work on earth just like it will in heaven. Amen. So Jesus took all that time, all that read, trying to impose upon the people a new order. Because nobody on the earth, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, all those guys, none of those people had the Holy Spirit in them. So you are different from John the Baptist. You're better than him. It's not anything that you did. It's just a fact. You are not like John the Baptist. You're better than John the Baptist. You are better than Isaiah. It's not because you had nothing to do with your conduct. You're better than Moses and Elisha. Those guys didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. David, King David, you're better than him. But you can enjoy the benefit and be effective in the kingdom assignment by you realizing that you are a different order of people. You are a different order of a kingdom. God sent Jesus and introduced a different order of the kingdom so that you can end up totally persuaded that you are really different and you're supposed to live a distinctive life so other people can see a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Jesus was not talking to people who were rank, who didn't have a covenant with God. He was talking to people, the Jewish people, they had turned this thing into a religion and they were missing out on the blessing. Because anybody who's under the law is cursed. You have to live your life under the blessing part of the covenant. The law that's talking about sin was added to it. And he had to say, repent, change the way y'all been thinking, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus was the only one on earth with the Holy Spirit in him. And he was introducing a lifestyle, a culture. When you go to France, you can drive and be talking about everybody else on the wrong side of the road and say, what's wrong with the folks? I'm the only one that's right. But you're just not in America when you're in France. Why? I need to get on the other side. One, I might get killed because I'm not in right standing with that government. It's a different culture. In the kingdom of God, is a different culture. So he said, you've heard. He said, but I'm saying. He said, you've heard, but this one I'm saying. He was trying to tell you, it's different. It's different from being in a religion or being just a regular person on the earth and being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You don't learn it. Don't wait until you get to heaven to learn the culture of heaven. Because when you do, when you get to heaven, if you hadn't learned and practiced it, we still will have to learn, or else we just have to go back to baby school. In heaven, you have to learn how to live. It don't matter whether you're in heaven or on earth, and you're in the kingdom. You have to learn this, or else you won't be in right standing. If there is going to be a difference in my life, I have to be in right standing with heaven's government. You got it? And then God says, all these things be added to you. Something to eat, something to drink, having your life full of the glory, not looking at two different things, having your eyes single, and having your whole life full of light. Amen. Everything that's pertaining to a godly life. You can do that right here on the earth. Amen. And God will not let anybody hold your fulfillment hostage. Amen. You got it? All right. So we have been talking about, we are on assignment. The head of the church, Jesus Christ, has given us an assignment. And this assignment involves forcefully advancing the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen. The assignment does not involve us being on earth trying to get our blessing. If you do that, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to fall into diverse things that's going to hurt you, because God doesn't have you here for the purpose of you trying to get your blessing. You got it? So if you're in that, it'll hurt you. It'll cause you to be comparing yourself with other people. You'll not be as fulfilled on the earth in the kingdom of God while you're on the earth, because you'll be caught up in something that you never was designed to be caught up in. All right? That's why in the very church where people are supposed to be full of joy and happiness, they bog down with the cares and lust of other things, trying to get what God is trying to have them to live in. Say reality. Say wake up. Come on. See, if you wake up, okay, it's a different culture now. So I want to find out my assignment. Say all these things will be added to me. Amen. Now I'm an ambassador. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I'm on the earth, but my citizenship is heaven. So I want to be in right standing with heaven. And then I don't have to worry about what I would be worrying about if I was trying to get my blessing. That mentality will hurt you. It'll cause you to be despondent most of the time. There's a difference between being about your Father's assignment and having everything being taken care of, including your fulfillment, and being on the earth, trusting what you can hook up or do or connive, what they call that word? Manipulate, so that you can end up blessed. No, that's not how. You're here, and your call and your assignment is not to try to manipulate a blessing for yourself, end up getting blessed. See, your assignment is to forcefully advance the kingdom of God. And if you do that, God will be with you. And he will take care of your man. Peace of mind. Say peace of mind. See, it's more to life than what you can eat. It's more to life than having something to wear. It's more to life than having a nice house. It's more to life than having something to drive. Life is not caught up in things. Life is more than things. But God wants you to have your, come on, things. And he wants you to have a life. Amen. People in the world are trying to get their blessing. People in the kingdom of God don't supposed to live like that. All these things, say all these things shall be added to you. Okay. Other people on the earth was living like this before I got saved. Now, why am I going to get saved and still live like I was living before I got saved? No, it's got to be something different. It's a different culture. There's a different culture. People in the world spending that time on the earth trying to make themselves comfortable. But something is better. God has something better. You'll hurt yourself if you do that. God's agenda will still be sitting on the back burner. I'm trying to tell you something better. Y'all ain't come to church just to get... Yeah. Y'all expect to hear from God, don't you? We hearing from God today. Amen. God got something better. That's what he said. Come on, fellas. That's what he said. Y'all stop the way you've been thinking. Because the Bible says that you hurt yourself if you're thinking like that. You got to allow yourself to see something better. It's not just worse. It's something better. It's better. It'll dawn on us. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy. Thank God. There's a better life. There's a better life. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. God says, we can inherit the kingdom that we are in. We can inherit it. It's our inheritance, but we inherit it. Amen. I want to inherit my kingdom. He says, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you a kingdom. He said, people who are not born again, they seek after these things. He said, but your Heavenly Father, he want to give you the kingdom. It's something better. He said, little children, come on, you little faith. You know, everybody, Gentile, people not even born again, not even having no covenant with God. They seeking all this stuff. But your Father know you have need of these things. Hallelujah. But seek ye. See, you different. You different from that. You different from that. You different from John the Baptist. They all had the Holy Spirit to come on them to do work, but the Holy Spirit was not in any of those people. But when it comes to you, there's a different order. You are a different type of a person. If you had not known, that's why God wants you to know it. You are different. And if you live a distinctive, different life, people will know the difference. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. You came out of the world. You remember you were in the world, weren't you? When you came into the kingdom of God, God said, now, come on now. The first thing you got to do, change culture. Because you'll hurt yourself if you be on this earth still thinking like somebody who's in that world. Something better. 1 Timothy. Why don't we just go, if we're going to do it, just go and do it. Say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I came to church today. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. It's something better. There's a better way. You know that God never called you to struggle to get your blessings working in your life. You know God. You know God is better than that. If you came into a kingdom, everything in the kingdom, you have access to it. Say peace, of mind. Say, come on. Fulfillment. Living life to the fullest. Everything fixed, nothing lacking, nothing missing. You know God wants you to do well, because the sinners are saved with their eyes. They see stuff. You know if God wants you to have that real life, he wants you to have some nice stuff. Come on now. 1 Timothy, 6th chapter. Y'all trust God to help me teach this. All right. If God leading us this way, you know he's going to have to show me. Let's look at the fourth chapter and first verse. Ready? Read. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brothers in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in all in the word of faith, said the word of faith, and of good doctrine, say good doctrine, whereunto thou hath obtained. Okay, but he don't want us to argue with people. And then 8 verse, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness profiteth unto all things. Okay, the 9th verse. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust, come on, read it. We trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Okay, these things command and teach. Let no man despise your youth. Then he said, till I come, 13th verse, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Okay? And then we see in this, let's look at the 6th chapter now. The 6th chapter. And let's see where we're going to start. He is proud. Okay? Okay. Let's go on and start at the first verse. Let as many servants as be under the yoke count their own master worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Why? So that the name of God and his doctrine might be not be blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. Why? Why you want to do that towards saved people? Because they are faithful and they are partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. See, that's culture of the kingdom. You teach people to think differently because, okay, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus, and to the doctrine which is according to what? Godliness. He is proud and knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes and words whereof cometh envy and strife and railing and surmising. Okay? Perverse disputing of men of corrupt mind and destitute of the truth, supposing that, come on, gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great godliness. It's a confidence in a covenant relationship that you have with God. It's a consciousness that I'm in a kingdom that the king takes care of me. Everything about your life, all of your concerns are taken care of while you are about fulfilling your assignment. That's the way ambassadors think. Ambassadors think everything about my life is taken care of while I only speak the words of my constitution of my government. My responsibility is not to give my opinion about anything, but to only speak words that agree with my government. And while I'm doing that, and while I'm representing my government, I have confidence that my government takes care of all of my concerns. That's what an ambassador does. And a person who is in the kingdom of God on earth, your opinion should never be expressed if your opinion naturally is contrary to your government's opinion. And the responsibility of a citizen of the kingdom on the earth, you represent the kingdom of God. And so you have to live a distinctive life on the earth, right among the world, so people can see the difference. If you think that you are a person like in the Old Testament, who is not like Jesus, you will act like somebody who is not like Jesus. But if you realize that you are a new order of people, a new order of the kingdom of God, where you are sons of God, exactly like the first one. Then you can adopt that other culture that Jesus has. Jesus has a different culture than people who are on the earth who's not, don't have the Holy Spirit in them. Jesus' goal, part of it, was to get the Holy Spirit back inside of people and make you a new order of people. And that's, you know, God says, I'm going to do a new thing. He did it. He did a new thing. Amen. Catch up with it. He did. Hallelujah. Yeah. And see, so this is kingdom talk. Fifth verse. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt mind and destitute. Say destitute. Of what? Of the truth. Come on. Supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But come on. But godliness, see, he's trying to tell you, don't throw it away yet. Don't walk away yet. Don't walk away yet. Hey, come on, keep on listening. But come on, read it. But godliness with a sense of inner sufficiency. That's contentment, means having a sense about yourself that what I got is good. What I got is enough. What I got will get it for me. That's contentment means, it means godliness, a sense that I'm in a kingdom and my king is committed to take care of everything about my life, my mind, my peace, my fulfillment, my joy, and my stuff by giving me authority over stuff to control it. God said, I want to give you control over everything. Instead of having you spend your time trying to get everything. See, the kingdom means I have control over it. Like Jesus had control over stuff. Didn't he? I said, didn't he? When he needed a donkey, he said, tell them that the Lord, that means the owner of that donkey, have need of it. You don't understand me. God owns everything. He paid for you. He paid for your opinion. He paid to run your life, but he gave you a will. He said, if you let me run my, I own your life, glory to God. But I still give you a will. Hallelujah. If men ever find out that their feelings don't have anything to do with how they love their wife, that they're going to be like God is toward the church, no matter what they feel, if they ever commit to do that, that man will be a happily married man. And that woman will be a blessed queen. That woman, if you ever marry a man who know how to love you like Jesus loved the church. Because most men have never found out how to love their wife like Christ loved their church. They're still waiting for that wife to look a certain way. Or to act a certain way. Or make them feel a certain way. They never have learned how they're supposed to love their wife. He said, do it like I love the church. And if a man don't know how to love you like Christ loved the church, don't marry him. Don't marry him. Expecting him to change. Don't marry him. You can suffer by yourself. You can be miserable by yourself. Even God can't send me. God can send you. I'm a king. See, you got to know you are a king. If you don't really believe, if you believe you're a king, you will not put up with certain things. You will not put up with your thoughts ruling you. You will rule over your thoughts. You will not let thoughts and feelings run your life. You will take authority over those things because I'm in charge. Hallelujah. My body not in charge. My feelings not in charge. Words not in charge. Situations not in charge. Say, I'm in charge. Y'all know about quantum physics? When things are moving at the speed of light, time stops. Did y'all know that? There's no time. If God can get you, if you could move at the speed of light for 20 years, 20 years from now, you'll be the same age that you are right now. But when you slow down, time starts.
If you're going to walk with God, you got to walk with God. If you're going to receive anything from God, you got to do it on His terms. God is in one perpetual now. And when you pray, you can't receive it tomorrow. You have to receive it right now, because God don't have no yesterdays.
When you understand, with God, 1,000 years is just like one day. Because God don't have no tomorrows. 1,000,000,000 years from now to God is right now. So if God gonna do anything, if you gonna ever be healed, if you don't get it from God, you got to accept it. Because God can't do it tomorrow. God can't do it when you start feeling better. God can't do anything when it starts looking different. If you ever go on into the kingdom, God wants you to live in the glory realm, where everything is taken care of. And it's out of line for me to try to get my blessing, because I'm in a state of being blessed right now. Because God says He has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. And where? In that glory realm. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, walk with Him. Stuff will manifest. If you try to get it, you're going to hurt yourself. He said, withdraw from people who running around trying to get their blessing, because they'll be ugly and mean as the devil. But if you see everybody in the glory, already in Him, you'll see people with the love of God in them. They'll look just like Jesus to you. And you can serve people with the people out the way. How can you love God and you don't see Him, and you hate somebody you can see? Because you're looking at the people instead of God. He right here, y'all. God is right here. If God is right here, He got to be right there. If He's healing here, He's healing. If He ever healed, He heals. Now, if you ever step into His glory, everything is taken care of. He's trying to get His children to walk with Him and not be in the kingdom and living like in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I said, God got something better for me. He wouldn't write the book if it wasn't something better. God don't ever talk to you and God don't have something better. Hallelujah. I can't be a legend in my own eyes. It's something better. God got something better, because God is able to do exceeding above. Somebody say, I might not have even thought this way, but God is able. He's able. And that's why He said, come on up hither. He's able to do more exceeding abundantly above what I ever ask or think, according to the power that's working in heaven. Wait a minute. According to the power that's working over yonder. Wait a minute, if I had the grace of God, God give me more power. According to the power that's working. It's in me now. I got it in me now. I got the grace of God. I got healing in me. I got gifts of the Spirit in me. I got manifestation of the Holy Ghost right now. I can't wait till tomorrow. I got it now. Hallelujah. I have it now. I have the glory of God in me now. I have healing. I have dead raising power in me now. I got the power to talk and things happen now. I got the creator of the universe in me now. I can't wait till I get to heaven. I got to walk in this now. I'm going to stop telling God to walk with me. I'm going to walk with God now, because He's right with me now. I got miracle working power in me now. I got the peace of God in me now. I can walk in the glory of God now. I've been walking too slow. I got to speed up with God. I got to step over in the light. I got to live in the light as He is in the light. I can't walk in darkness. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. I'm a child of light. That's why I've been so unsatisfied, because I ain't been walking in the light. Say, I'm a child of the light. Walk as children in the light. Come on, say, wake up. It's high time you wake up and walk in the light. Say, it's better than it. See, to somebody else, it's hard to let that stuff go. But God said, if you let that go, if you lay down that other life, if you lay down your life, you can have the life I have for you. Say, but
godliness. I got a sense, a consciousness. I can do like Jesus did. Father, I can stand on the earth and have God. It's a consciousness that I'm in another whole kingdom. This stuff don't even matter. I can say, Father, what do I have in my life? What do I have in my house? I'm not talking about what somebody else got. What do I have? I'm not going to covet what do I have? God has given me enough. Glory to God. Jesus already, God says, Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He was going to take what he had and have a sense of sufficiency, contentment. What I got is enough. Father, thank you for what I got. Because you would let me be on this earth with me not having enough. Thank you. This is enough with your anointing. I'm going to act like I got more than enough. I'm going to act like I got more than enough. It don't look like much, but I'm going to act like you ain't going to let me be on this earth without enough. I know it's 5,000 people, and this don't look like enough. I need a miracle. And if you need a miracle, God will give you a miracle. Hallelujah. I said, God will give you a miracle. If you're doing all you can with the little bit you got. Amen. He knew how to do it. He act like he was godly. He had godliness. God, you're my father. Thank you. Now, go and use that. It's on God now. I'm going to do my best with what I got. And somehow or another, those disciples, they handle it all. They handle all of it. I'm telling you, if you give all that you have in advancing the kingdom of God, God will let you handle it all. And he'll let your life be a blessing. You will be fulfilled. You'll always have more than you need. Although it seemed like your little bit of talent ain't much. But God has put in you, if you use it, you'll have a fulfilled life. Hallelujah. And so many other people be so blessed. Because you just used the little bit you got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You didn't compare yourself with nobody else. You just took what you had. And you used the little bit you got. If one person show up, I'm going to do my best. And God going to still take care of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to use this little bit I got. I'm going to stop sitting on my gift. I'm going to use what I got. And God going to multiply it. Hallelujah. First, he got to break you, though. And he got to bless you. And then he's going to give you away. Come on. Say, where'd you go? Where'd you go? Said, the Lord has need of me. Hallelujah. God said, I'm going to give you the stuff that you was running after. You really didn't want the stuff. You wanted the fulfillment and the joy and the peace and the contentment. I'm going to give you the contentment and the peace and the joy and the stuff. That's what God's saying. God said, you've been searching, thinking that you're going to get fulfillment out of the person, out of the stuff, out of the things. He said, but if you put this thing, you hook this thing up right, and you seek first to adopt my culture in your life, I'm going to give you the stuff and the people and the things and the contentment and the fulfillment and the joy. And you're gonna live life to the fullest. Hallelujah. 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 He had to, but God wanted you to get you ready because you hurt yourself if you don't change that mindset. Hallelujah. God got more for you. Say, God has much more than the things. He want to give you control over your mind, over your feelings, over your emotions, over the things. Say, over the things. And when you know you got control over things, God want to open up that kingdom to you so you can understand the mysteries of his glory. He want to blot out the dependency on everything else and have you end up saying one thing, I desire.
is to just be in your presence and behold the beauty of your holiness. And while you're in that glory realm, things will come to you. Hallelujah.